وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَن يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ
And when thy Lord said to the angels, I am about to place a vicegerent in the earth, they said, Wilt thou place therein such as will cause disorder in it, and shed blood? And we glorify thee with thy praise, and extol thy holiness. He answered, I know what you know not. Footnote 57. Qala is a common Arabic word meaning, he said. Sometimes, however, it is used in a figurative sense when, instead of a verbal expression, a state or condition amounting to a verbal expression is meant. The expression, امْتَلَعُ الْحَوْضُ وَقَالَ قَتْنِي The tank became full and said, that will suffice, does not mean that the tank actually said so, only its condition implied that it was full. The conversation between God and angels need not be taken in a literal sense as actually to have taken place. As stated above, the word qala is sometimes used in a figurative sense to convey not actually a verbal expression, but simply a state or condition amounting to a verbal expression. The verse may thus simply mean that the angels by their state or condition implied a reply that has been here ascribed to them in words. Footnote 57a Malaika, which is the plural of malak, is derived from malaka, which means he controlled, or from alaka, meaning he sent. The angels are called malaika because they control the forces of nature, or because they bring divine revelations to heavenly messengers and reformers. Footnote 58. The angels did not object to God's purpose or claimed superiority over Adam. Their question was prompted by God's announcement of his plan to appoint a vicegerent. A vicegerent is needed when order has to be maintained and laws enforced. The seeming objection of the angels meant that there would be people on earth who would create disorder and shed blood. Man, having been endowed with great powers to do good and evil, the angel spoke of the darker side of his character, but God knew that he could rise to such moral heights as to become the mirror of divine attributes. To this bright side of his character, the words, I know what you know not, refer. Footnote 59. The question of the angels was not by way of finding fault with God's work, but by way of seeking greater knowledge of the nature and wisdom of the appointment. For the meaning of Nusabbihu, see footnote 2981. Footnote 60. Whereas tasbih, glorifying, is used with regard to God's attributes, taqdis, extolling his holiness, is used concerning his actions. Footnote 61. Adam, who lived about 6,000 years ago, is popularly believed to be the first man created by God upon earth. This view, however, is not corroborated by the Quran. The world has passed through different cycles of creation and civilization, and Adam, the progenitor of the present human race, is only the first link in the present cycle, and not the very first man in God's creation. Nations have risen and fallen, civilizations have appeared and disappeared. other Adams may have gone before our Adam. Other races may have lived and perished, and other cycles of civilization may have appeared and disappeared. Muhyiddin ibn Arabi, the great Muslim mystic, says that once he saw himself in a dream performing a circuit of the Kaaba. In the dream, a man who claimed to be one of his ancestors appeared before him. "How long is it since you died?" asked Ibn Arabi. "More than 40,000 years," the man replied. "But this period is much more than what separates us from Adam," said Ibn Arabi. The man replied, "Of which Adam are you speaking? About the Adam who is nearest to you, or of some other?" "Then I recollected," says Ibn Arabi, "a saying of the Holy Prophet to the effect that God had brought into being no less than 100,000 Adams. And I said to myself, perhaps this man who claims to be an ancestor of mine was one of the previous Adams." Futuhat, volume 2, page 607. It is not claimed that the race which lived before Adam was entirely swept away before he was born. Most probably, there had remained a small, degenerated remnant of the old race, and Adam was one of them. God then selected him to be the progenitor of a new race and the precursor of a new civilization. Created, as it were, out of the dead, he represented the dawn of a new era of life. As Khalifa means a successor, it is clear that men had existed and lived on earth before Adam, whom he succeeded. And we cannot say whether the original inhabitants of America, Australia, etc., are the progeny of this last Adam or of some other Adam gone before him. Much has been said about the place where Adam was born or where he was raised as a reformer. The popular view is that he was placed in paradise but was later expelled therefrom and put somewhere on the earth. But the words "in the earth" contradict this view and definitely show that Adam lived on the earth, and it was on the earth that he was raised as a reformer. Most probably, he was first made to live in Iraq, but was later directed to move down to a neighbouring land. See also the larger edition of the commentary under this verse.
Verse 32.
وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنتُمْ صَادِقِينَ
And he taught Adam all the names. Then he put the objects of these names before the angels and said, "Tell me the names of these, if you are right." Footnote 62. The word "all" used here does not imply absolute totality. It simply means all that was necessary. The Quran uses this word in this sense elsewhere also. Chapter 6, verse 45, chapter 27, verses 17 and 24, and chapter 28, verse 58. Footnote 62a. Asma is plural of ism, which means name or attribute, a mark or a sign of a thing. Lain and Mufradat. Commentators differ as to what is here meant by the word asma, names. Some think that God taught Adam the names of different things and objects, i.e., he taught him the principles of language. There is no doubt that man needed language in order to become civilized, and God must have taught Adam its principles. But the Quran indicates that there are asma, names or attributes, which man must learn for the perfection of his morals. they are referred to in chapter 7, verse 181. This shows that man cannot attain to divine knowledge without a correct conception and comprehension of God's attributes, and that they can be taught only by God. So it was necessary that God should have, in the very beginning, given Adam, man, knowledge of his attributes so that he should know and recognize him and attain his nearness and should not drift away from him. According to the Quran, man differs from angels in that while the former can be an image or reflex of al-asma'ul husna, i.e. all the perfect divine attributes, the latter represent only a few of them. Angels have no will of their own, but only passively perform the functions allotted to them by providence. Chapter 66, verse 7. On the other hand, man, endowed with volition and free choice, differs from angels in that he possesses capabilities which make him a perfect manifestation of all divine attributes. Briefly, the verse signifies that God first implanted in Adam free will and the needful capacity for the comprehension of various divine attributes, and then gave him the knowledge of those attributes. Asma may also mean the qualities of the different things in nature. As man was to make use of the forces of nature, God endowed him with the capacity and power to know their qualities and properties. Footnote 62b. The pronoun hum, these, shows that the objects referred to here are not inanimate things. For in Arabic, this form of pronoun is used only for rational beings. The meaning of the expression, therefore, would be that God granted to the angels a vision of the outstandingly righteous persons from among the progeny of Adam, who were to become the manifestation of divine attributes in the future, and were then asked whether they themselves could manifest the divine attributes like them, to which they signified their inability. This is what is meant by the words, "Tell me the names of these," occurring in the present verse.
Verse 33.
قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ
They said, "Holy art thou. No knowledge have we except what thou hast taught us. Surely thou art the all-knowing, the wise." Footnote 63. As the angels were conscious of their natural limitations, they frankly confessed that they were unable to reflect all God's attributes as man could do, i.e. they could reflect only such of his attributes as he, in his eternal wisdom, had granted them the power to reflect.
Verse 34.
قَالَ يَا آدَمُ أَنْبِئُهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ فَلَمَّا أَنْبَأَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَأَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ
He said, "O Adam, tell them their names." And when he had told them their names, he said, "Did I not say to you, I know the secrets of the heavens and of the earth, and I know what you reveal and what you hide." Footnote 64. When the angels confessed their inability to manifest in themselves all the divine attributes that Adam could manifest, the latter, in obedience to the divine will, manifested the different natural capabilities ingrained in him and revealed to the angels their extensive character. Thus, Adam proved the necessity of the creation of a being who might secure from God the faculty of volition, or the power of will by means of which he might voluntarily choose the way of goodness or of evil, and might thereby reveal the glory and greatness of God.
Verse 35.
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ
And remember the time when we said to the angels, Submit to Adam. And they all submitted, but Iblis did not. He refused and deemed himself too big, and he was of the disbelievers. Footnote 65. Adam, having become an image of the attributes of God, and having attained the rank of a prophet, God ordered the angels to serve him. The Arabic expression usjudu does not mean fall prostrate before Adam, because the Quran definitely prohibits prostrating before anything but God, chapter 41, verse 38, and a command to that effect could not have been given to angels. The command means, prostrate yourselves before me as a mark of thanksgiving for my having created Adam. Footnote 66. Illa, but, is used to signify exception. In Arabic, istithna, exception, is of two kinds. Number one, istithna muttasil, i.e. an exception in which the thing accepted belongs to the same class or species to which the things from which an exception is sought to be made belong. Number two, istithna munkati, i.e. an exception where the accepted thing belongs to a different class or species. In the verse under comment, the word illa denotes the latter kind of exception, Iblis not being one of the angels. Footnote 67. The word Iblis is derived from ablasa, which means, number one, his good or virtue decreased. Number two, he gave up hope or despaired of the mercy of God. Number three, became broken in spirit. Number four, was perplexed and unable to see his way. And number five, he was prevented from attaining his wish. Based on the root meaning of the word, Iblis is a being which contains little of good and much of evil, and which, on account of its having despaired of God's mercy owing to its disobedience, is left perplexed and confounded and unable to see its way. Iblis is often considered identical with Satan, but is in some cases different from him. Iblis, it must be understood, was not one of the angels, because whereas he has been here described as disobeying God, the angels have been described as ever submissive and obedient, chapter 66, verse 7. God was angry with Iblis because he too was commanded to serve Adam, but he disobeyed, chapter 7, verse 13. Moreover, even if there were no separate commandments for Iblis, the one for angels must be taken to extend to all beings, because angels, being the custodians of the different parts of the universe, the commandment given to them automatically extends to all beings. As stated above, Iblis is really an attributive name given on the basis of the root meaning of the word to the evil spirit opposed to the angels. He has been so named because he possesses the attributes enumerated above, particularly the quality of being deprived of good and of being left bewildered in the way and of despairing of God's mercy. That Iblis was not the Satan spoken of in chapter 2, verse 37, is apparent from the fact that the Quran mentions the two names side by side, wherever the story of Adam is given. But everywhere a careful distinction is observed between the two. Wherever it speaks of the being who, unlike the angels, refused to serve Adam, it invariably mentions the name Iblis. And wherever it speaks of the being who beguiled Adam and became the means of his being turned out of the garden, it mentions the name Satan. This distinction, which is most significant, and which has been maintained throughout the Quran in at least 10 places, chapter 2, verse 35 and 37, chapter 7, verse 12 and 21, chapter 15, verse 32, chapter 17, verse 62, chapter 18, verse 51, chapter 20, verse 117 and 121, and chapter 38, verse 75, clearly shows that Iblis is different from the Satan who beguiled Adam and who was one of Adam's own people. Elsewhere, the Quran says that Iblis belonged to a secret creation of God and, unlike the angels, was capable of obeying or disobeying God. Chapter 7, verses 12 and 13.
Verse 36.
وقلنا يا آدم اسكن أنت وزوجك الجنة وكلا منها رغدا حيث شئتما ولا تقربا هذه الشجرة فتكونا من الظالمين.
And we said, O Adam, dwell thou and thy wife in the garden, and eat therefrom plentifully wherever you will. But approach not this tree, lest you be of the wrongdoers. Footnote 68. The word Jannah, garden, occurring in this verse does not refer to heaven or paradise, but simply to the garden-like place where Adam was first made to live. It cannot refer to heaven, first because it was on the earth that Adam was made to live, chapter 2, verse 37. Secondly, heaven is a place from which no one who once enters it is ever expelled, chapter 15, verse 49. While Adam was made to quit the Jannah garden spoken of in this verse. This shows that the Jannah or garden in which Adam first dwelt was a place on this very earth, which was given this name on account of the fertility of its soil and the abundance of its verdure. Recent researchers go to show that the place was the Garden of Eden, which lay near Babylon in Iraq or Assyria. Encyclopedia under Ur. Footnote 68a. The expression, eat therefrom plentifully wherever you will, indicates that the place where Adam lived had not yet come under anybody's jurisdiction, and was what may be termed God's land, which was given to Adam, who was thus made, as it were, the lord of all he surveyed. Footnote 69. According to the Bible, the forbidden shajara, tree, was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Genesis 2, verse 17. But according to the Quran, after having eaten of the forbidden fruit, Adam and Eve became naked, which signifies that, unlike knowledge which is a source of goodness, the tree was a source of evil, which made Adam exhibit a weakness. The Quranic view is evidently correct because to deprive man of knowledge was to defeat the very purpose for which he had been brought into being. The Quran and the Bible seem, however, to agree on the point that the tree was not a real one, but only a symbol, because no tree with either of the above characteristics, i.e. making a man naked or giving him knowledge of good or evil, is known to exist on the face of the earth. So the tree must represent something else. Shajara also means a quarrel. Elsewhere, the Quran makes mention of two kinds of shajara. Number one, shajaratu tayyiba, good tree, and number two, shajaratu khabitha, evil tree, for which see chapter 14, verse 25 and 27. Pure things and pure teachings are likened to the former, and impure things and impure thoughts to the latter. In view of these explanations, the verse would signify, number one, that Adam was enjoined to avoid quarrels, and number two, that he was warned against evil things.
Verse 37.
فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَا فِيهِ وَقُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌّ وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌّ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَى حِينٍ.
But Satan caused them both to slip by means of it, and drove them out of the state in which they were. And we said, go forth hence. Some of you are enemies of others, and for you there is an abode in the earth, and a provision for a time. Footnote 70. The first two clauses of the verse mean that a satanic being enticed Adam and his spouse from the place in which they were placed, and thereby deprived them of the comfort they enjoyed. As explained in chapter 2, verse 35, the being who beguiled and brought trouble on Adam was Shaitan and not Iblis, who is spoken of as refusing to serve Adam. So Shaitan does not here refer to Iblis, but to someone else from among the people of Adam's time who was his enemy. The inference is further supported by chapter 17, verse 66, according to which Iblis could have no power over Adam. The word Shaitan is of much wider significance than Iblis, for whereas Iblis is the name given to the evil spirit who belonged to the jinn and refused to serve Adam, thereafter becoming the leader and representative of the forces of evil in the universe, Shaitan is any evil or harmful being or thing, whether a spirit or a human being, or an animal, or a disease, or any other thing. Thus, Iblis is a Satan. His comrades and associates are Satans. Enemies of truth are Satans. Mischievous men are Satans. Injurious animals are Satans. And harmful diseases are Satans. The Quran, the Hadith, and Arabic literature are full of instances in which the word Satans has been freely used about one or all of these things. Footnote 71. The Quran lends no support to the idea of anybody ascending to the heavens alive, for the verse clearly fixes the earth as the lifelong abode of man, and rejects the idea that Jesus, or for that matter anybody else, ever went up to the heavens alive.
Verse 38.
Then Adam learnt from his Lord certain words of prayer. So he turned towards him with mercy. Surely he is oft returning with compassion and is merciful.
Verse 39.
قُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا فإما يأتينكم مني هدى فمن تبع هداي فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون.
We said, go forth hence, all of you, and if there comes to you guidance from me, then whoso shall follow my guidance, on them shall come no fear, nor shall they grieve. Footnote 72. Khawf denotes fear about the future. Footnote 73. Huzn generally relates to the fear about what is past. Verse 40.
وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ.
But they who will disbelieve and treat our signs as lies, these shall be the inmates of the fire. Herein shall they abide. Footnote 74. Islam does not believe in the eternity of hell, but regards it as a sort of penitentiary where sinners will be made to live for a limited period for spiritual treatment and cure. See footnote 1351.